The ROTC program at UTC has formed a partnership with the Eastern Band of the Cherokee in North Carolina. UTC has established an internship program for graduates from the Cherokee School, and athletes from that school are encouraged to try out for UTC's football program. Major Robert Ricks, the director of the ROTC program, initiated the partnership agreement between UTC and the Cherokee because he wanted to recognize both their long-standing contribution to the U.S. military as well as their history in the Chattanooga area. WUTC's Richard Winham spoke with Major Ricks, who said the ROTC program nationally is now responsible for commissioning more officers in the U.S. Army than West Point.
Right now, I would say anywhere between 50 and 60% of the active duty Army officers come from ROTC. That wasn't always the case. Traditionally speaking, West Point was the primary producer of active duty, and then your ROTC produced National Guard and Reserve for the most part. But the shift is predominantly, just by sheer numbers and by the requirements of the mission, it shifted towards ROTC producing more. And actually, you could argue that they have produced more career officers out of ROTC than West Point.
That shift has largely occurred in the last 20 years, according to Major Ricks. His father graduated from West Point in 1962. He was a career Army officer, as were most of his colleagues, but now most West Point graduates serve their time in the Army and then leave for much better-paying jobs in the private sector, according to Major Ricks. But while ROTC is now the principal recruiter for people interested in a career in the armed forces, many students drop out after just a couple of years in the program.
They didn't really understand what it was that they were signing up for.
Absolutely. You see that quite a bit. In fact, there are kids that have gone through upwards of the entire program, and right towards the end, they realize it's not for them. And they have to get out, and it's kind of sad because the Army has to get its money back.
But otherwise, their education is paid for.
In the cases of Army scholarships, their education is paid for. If you sign up for what we call a contract, it means you're contracting to commission. You'll get upwards of, depending on how many years you've been in the program. When I was in it, it was $150 a month. I believe it can be upwards of $300 a month. And that's pretty good money for a kid that's eating ramen and, eating tuna fish and whatever else, and it buys them some cheap beverages. But that's really about it. It doesn't do much else, and that's kind of what they expect. They're okay with that.
But as far as the school costs, they're still paying those.
What our big focus here at UTC is, a lot of our cadets serve in the National Guard or Reserve while they're here, and they get tuition assistance and veterans benefits that help them pay for school. The way it works out is if you go that route, it ends up giving you more money than a scholarship. So that's what the majority of our young men and women do.
What kind of commitment is that?
In 1 week in the month, they have to drill with the National Guard or their reserve unit, and that's it. They do go to basic training and advanced training. In most cases over the summer, like between their freshman and sophomore year, they'll go to basic and AIT, we call it. And then they'll be paid by the National Guard as a sergeant. That's the level of pay they get. And then once they complete advanced training, they get the veterans benefits rolling in and the tuition assistance.
So basically they give up 1 weekend a month and they get to go to school for free. Pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's paid for. Nothing is ever free, I like to say. You're always...
Well, it's not. It's a quid pro quo, right?
Right, yeah. There's always an exchange there.
Yeah.
But, yes. Yeah, it's a good way for a lot of people that would not be able to afford college to be able to go to college.
Yeah, I understand. And what's their commitment at the end of that?
Every commitment is around 8 years. Now, how they break that 8 years up is really between the Army and that individual. It can be all active service. It can be all Reserve or National Guard. But in other words, once your name is in the system and you've taken a commission, they've got you for 8 years. And then at the end of that 8 years, they ask you if you want to retain your commission or, give it up, and then you're free.
So they go to school for 4 years, and their major, in effect, is military science?
No, it is not a major. Their major is just like any other student. They just take military science courses. And it's good that you mentioned that. One of the things that the Army's asking for is science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM students. They want more of those. So there's a good chance that if you want active duty and you're an engineering major, you're probably going to get it.
When these 18, 19-year-olds come to you and they're all gung-ho,
right,
what do you say to them?
It's great. I think it's great. You know, me, I have a recruiting officer who helps me, you know, talk to prospective students. But, you know, I lay out what a career is to the best of my ability, and it's a very different lens that they're looking through than what I'm looking through, of course. And I try to make sure that I'm, you know, connecting with how they're viewing the military. But by the time they get to their senior year, I'm starting to kind of, you know, really tighten their perspective on what they can anticipate when they actually get into the force. Because by that point in time, I need to give them the reality versus what they've, you know, come to believe in, you know, modern warfare, Call of Duty video games versus what they actually will be doing in the Army. So,
which I guess is a wake-up call for a lot of these kids.
It is.
But that's a good thing.
It is. It is a good thing.
Because these are people who are going to be having to lead other people.
Right.
Right. A lot of their peers. Right. They need to understand what they're doing, obviously. But
yes, the leadership aspect of it is, it's a difficult thing to quantify, and we try our best to do it. And I try to get them attuned to what it is like to care for, you know, other people's sons and daughters. But it's just one of those things that we have to kind of work with constantly, and even when they get into the force or something, they're...
A number of young Cherokee men have joined the ROTC here at UTC. The transition is fraught with challenges for them. On the one hand, they want to retain their cultural identity, while at the same time, they are joining the armed forces and they want to become a US soldier, blend with the mainstream.
How does that work for you when you have Cherokee come and work with you? Do you find the culture blend easily, or do they have what we call culture
shock?
There are
differences, and I wouldn't call it so much culture shock, but there are nuances that are very profound. The way that it's very difficult to explain. If you meet somebody that is a Cherokee on the street, chances are you probably won't realize that they're Cherokee. But then as you start getting to know them, you start understanding, you know, things that they have experienced in their growing up, especially on the reservation, how they view things differently, how they operate on the reservation, how they view themselves as opposed to how the people and other communities around them view themselves. And the fact that they have, in many cases, a different language. And the federal government, I don't want to say treats them differently, but they have a different status as a citizen of these United States. It's something that one of the things I was trying to address when we created the concept of this internship, this cultural summer internship that came about as a result of this partnership, was that the Cherokee here in Western North Carolina, and pretty much in this region of the Southeast, are having a difficult time with the resources to maintain their culture, maintain their heritage, maintain their identity. And one of the things that I wanted to ensure is that this partnership was a means to which they could, you know, help retain their identity and help other people identify with their experience. You know, here in Chattanooga, the more you know about Chattanooga, the more you understand how important this area is to the Cherokee culture. And the more that we can identify as Chattanoogans, as people from this area, with the Cherokee, they become more relevant and become more ingrained in how we think as well.
The internship program Major Ricks mentioned is the Charles George Internship Program, which is set to begin next summer. The relationship between the Cherokee people and ROTC, and by extension, the U.S. Armed Forces, is somewhat paradoxical. But according to Lynn Harlan, a spokesperson for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, the Cherokee men have a long history with the United States Army.
The Cherokee people have always been great patriots of the country. Per capita, Native Americans are the largest group represented in the military.
So there's more Cherokee people in the Army than there is anybody else?
Well, there are not more people. There's more statistically, yes. Yeah. It's a greater number.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And, you know, not to be offensive, but it's rather like working with the enemy, isn't it?
Well, this is our country.
Yes, I know, exactly. And that's the first thing that occurred to me, to think, you know, when you talk about
your patriotism. We've always
defended our country. Yes, that's right. So you are honoring your relationship with a country that long predates the country as we know it.
Right. We always believe that the tides will change back and this will become our country again in the end. So really, Europeans have really only been here 500 years. So in the measure of time, that's a very small percentage.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
We don't judge time in terms of our lifetimes. We judge time in terms of seven generations on either side of us. What someone did seven generations ago matters to me, and what I do will matter to the next seven generations.
The Cherokee people have had their own school in North Carolina only since the early 1990s. They receive some funding from the government, but largely the school is funded by the proceeds from gambling casinos on the reservation. It's a measure of their commitment to the U.S. Armed Forces that they've had a junior ROTC in the high school almost since its inception.
The ROTC program at Cherokee Central Schools is a relatively new program. It's probably 20 years old, which is relatively new for us. Most of our military service people left high school and went straight to the military, so there was really never a need to train young people. Young men and women that went to the military kind of had that in their sights very early.
Again, because you consider this is your country, and so you want to go to the defense of the country.
Yes. Cherokee men always defended our towns and our nations. The women actually ran the government, and there were two parts of government for Cherokees traditionally, a peace government and a war government. Cherokees believe that leaders could not do both. You could not wage war successfully and wage peace successfully, that those two functions had to be separated. As we had to deal with Europeans, the Europeans would not deal with women leaders. So men came to the front as leaders. The women still told them what to do, but they were the spokespersons at that point. The following in that warrior tradition, our young people have long gone to the military and served long, successful careers there.
Is it also because the armed forces represent somewhere where somebody can find a stable career and can make a life for themselves professionally?
Yes, I agree with that. It's also that even during Vietnam in particular, our community never harbored those types of animosities toward military service that other communities did. So even at the time when the United States as a whole was not honoring veterans, we always honored our veterans. So there was never a stigma attached to military service. Nowadays, we see that ROTC is important because of the changing technology of military service, and our kids kind of need that, in addition to the discipline that it takes to be successful there.
While young Cherokee men interested in ROTC are now invited to come to UTC, and promising athletes are encouraged to try out for the UTC football team, they have the option of going to any school anywhere in the world, and the tribe will cover their expenses, according to Lynn Harlan.
The tribe pays for any student that we have to go anywhere they want. If they want to go to NASCAR driver's school, if they want to go to art school, any major university anywhere in the world, our tribe will pay for that. So we're always looking for new ways to create partnerships with universities and other academic institutions.
So why did you want to form a partnership with UTC then?
We have a successful partnership with University of Tennessee, Knoxville, and East Tennessee University. So we look at this as an extension of those opportunities that we've created there. This was traditionally Cherokee land. Our interests have always been here. We've maintained relationships with the city of Chattanooga for some of the art projects downtown. We regularly consult with the cities and counties in East Tennessee to protect historic sites and sacred sites in the region. So this really is Cherokee territory, and we're just kind of reestablishing more relationships.
The Cherokee Junior ROTC will be part of the Color Guard for the Military Appreciation Day, or MAD, football game between UTC and Wofford tomorrow, Saturday, November 9th. The principal chief, as well as members of the tribal council, will also be at the game. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.